I don't know, man. People hate stand-up paddle all over the world. It's true, no? Like,
it's the Paddle Woo Podcast.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Paddle Woo Podcast. I am your host, Eric Antonsen, and today's guests are Caio and Ian Vaz, the famous Vaz brothers. They have a reality surf show in Brazil, running for 3 seasons now. Caio is the current world champion on the stand-up world tour, which is the most prestigious title in paddle surfing. And he won the Male Paddler of the Year at the SUP Awards last month in California. They recorded this episode here in the Blue Zone of Costa Rica on the Progression Project. I really haven't mentioned the Progression Project much on the show yet, but now that it's finished, I can let you guys in on what we've been doing, what we've been focused on for the last bit. A few months ago, I was chatting with Mo Freitas after he won the video contest, and I told him about an idea that I had. The idea was to get 8 of the world's best paddle surfers, get them all in one location, and run a peer voting contest so that the surfers are defining the future and progression of the sport. So the original idea was to award the most progressive paddle surfer with a $5,000 prize at the end of the week, and all the voting. So the premise of the contest is that all the voting would be done by the other surfers in the contest. Mo liked that idea, and so I started kicking around some dates and mentioned it to a couple other people and started working kind of on a tentative invite list. We started the dates. We were looking probably more like in the March time frame based on the world tour schedule and all this. But then when I was out in Cali for the Huntington event, right before that event started, right before the stand-up world tour event started, they announced that the season would end in Huntington and that the events in France and Morocco would not run and that the world champion would be crowned at that event. What that meant was that the world's best schedules had opened up for October and early November. So we started thinking about that, and I talked to some of the guys that were in on the project at that time, the guys that I had already mentioned the Progression Project to, and that was Mo and Noah Janella, Fisher, and Kieran Grant, and Zane Schweitzer. And everybody was keen to get together to talk about ideas for the project. And I had a house right by the pier in Huntington there. And so after the week of surfing got done, after Caio won the world championship, we set a date and got everyone together at our house, which was really cool. And by that point, I had talked to Caio and Giorgio and some of the other guys. And then some of the surfers had mentioned it to other people. And so for that meeting, I think it was on a Friday afternoon, we had like 12 of the world's best paddle surfers in this house talking about the Progression Project. And that was a really cool moment. I've got some super cool photos of that afternoon. So we talked a bit, and everyone was really pumped on the idea. But what it turned out is that no one wanted it to be a contest because these guys travel around the world all year long just competing with each other. And what they hadn't done before is just go on a surf trip. So for us to change the tone of the project from a contest to a surf trip, we also had to change the agenda there. And what we decided to do was to make a movie around the trip. We'd still call it, for this point, we're still calling it the Progression Project. So the dates were set, and today is the first. We finished up yesterday. For the last 13 days, nine guys of the world's best paddle surfers were here in the Blue Zone, surfing once or twice a day, every day, down here with the paddle crew, Blue Zone SUP. And we had a film crew in from Florida, California. And my guy is on the video too, Brian, who does an excellent job. So we had water footage, drone footage, and we got good surf too. So it was one of the most fun projects I've ever been a part of for sure. And I'm really excited that now I can talk about it because I didn't want to say anything about it and then have it not come off because I hate that. So, yeah, it's happened. It's happened. And we got a ton of great clips. We had a lot of funny stuff out of the water too. Actually this next podcast here, we've got Kiahi on deck too. He's already recorded his podcast, but it might be fun to get out, a podcast about the week that we had too. And some of the guys want to hop on and talk about some of the funny stuff that was going down all week long. So It was amazing. And Kyle and Ian were the first to arrive on the progression project. They got in a couple days before everybody else, which was a crazy cool time just surfing with Kyle and Ian out around all of our spots. And day two, we sat down and recorded this episode, the episode that you're about to listen to. But before we get into that, I need to say that Blue Zone Sup sponsored a large part of the progression project. And if you haven't checked out what we're doing with Blue Zone Sup, it is an all-inclusive progressive paddle surf retreat in Costa Rica. It is not 100% paddle surfing. If you want to come down with family members or friends, that's shortboard, that's cool. We do it all. If you want to do a private retreat and also dive, paddle surf, surf, dive, we love that. We just like being in the water as much as possible. And so you can check out, we got a new website that's going to launch here pretty soon. And you can check out our Facebook page or reach out to me. So, and that's eric@paddlewoo.com. And also you can check out our new headquarters, because now we have a pretty large compound right by the beach. And actually this week it hosted, at our largest part, we had 13 guys sleeping in the house comfortably. So, you know, we like to run our camps with around 6, maybe 8 guys, but we had 13 in there, and it, the house did well and the guys didn't burn it down, which I was thankful for. December's a great time, and we actually just had a week pop open, and that's of December 6th. So if anyone wants to hop in on a quick trip down, we should have great conditions, and we'd love to have you guys down here. So hit us up. All right, so let's get into it. Kayo and Ian Vaz are on the Paddle Boo podcast. Enjoy it, and stay tuned for all the fun stuff that we're going to have coming out with the Progression Project and the next video contest that the submissions need to be due December 4th. And we already have some crazy good guys. Kiahi's been saving an epic edit from what he has said. I know that all the other guys have got them too. It looks like there's going to be 15 guys in it so far. So that should be a lot of fun to watch. All right, guys, Kayo and Ian Vaz, enjoy the show. All right, Kayo and Ian Vaz, thank you guys very much for being on the Paddle Woo podcast. This is super cool.
Right on. Thank you. Yep. Get us here.
And today, for all you folks listening, is the first day of the Paddle Woo Progression Project, which you've probably seen on Instagram if you follow us or follow any of these guys, because today starts, and when you listen to this, it'll be a week or two from now, but today starts our Progression Project, which is 8 or 9, I guess, of the world's best stand-up paddle surfers descending on the Blue Zone where I live. And we're doing a lot of filming, going to be producing a movie, and then we're calling it the Progression Project right now. Maybe that name changes in the future, but we've got Kayo and Ian, who just landed. We've got Fisher, Kieran, Giorgio, and Noah Janella on their way out today. And then in a couple days, we've got Mo Freitas, Sean Pointer, Zane Schweitzer, all coming out. So it's going to be an absolutely sick week of surfing. This morning, we got in the water yesterday right when they landed, and then this morning we already have a broken board, which is too bad, but stuff happens. So all right, we're going to jump into a podcast with Kayo and Ian, but I just wanted to set the stage for you guys. And we are recording in person right now down in Costa Rica, which is pretty cool. All right, Kayo and Ian, to get us started off, a lot of the American fans, the U.S. fans of stand-up paddle surfing, probably don't know a lot about your background, just know you through stand-up paddle surfing. So give us your background.
Right on. So, man, I started surfing since I was really small because of my father. He was a surfer, and he put me and Ian in his board when we were like 5 years old or 6 years old, and it was a shortboard. Of course, there was no stand-ups in that time in Brazil. And we started surfing. I loved surfing since the first time. I don't remember the first time, but after that, I just continued surfing for all my life. And I still competed, like, some competition, like shortboarding competition, like amateurs, and traveled around and got a sponsor, too. And, yeah, like, when I was 15 years old or 16 years old, maybe, it was summer in Rio, and when it's summer, man, it's like almost all, every day it's really flat, and the water is really cold too. So It's really bad for surfing, shortboard. And then my father, I'm going to buy a Santa paddle, 11 footer. And let's paddle around, let's see Rio from inside the water. And we're like, oh, nice, Dad. And then he bought a Santa paddle. And, man, it was a fight because there was only one Santa paddle and one paddle. And, like, me, Ian, and my father, we were, like, fighting to see who was going to stand a paddle in that day when we were in the beach. Because it was, like, the only fun we had, like, on the beach was to stand a paddle because on shortboard was so, like, annoying to be there. And
how much older are you than Ian?
I'm 1 year and a half older.
A year and a half. And right now you're 22?
I'm 21 now.
21 now,
and Ian is 20. 20? Oh, my God.
He's 20.
And then, like, Ian got first... Like, tell a little
bit. So I started a little bit earlier because I always surfed shortboard too, but I kind of let it go from the competitions and didn't have any sponsors. So when stand-up paddle arrived for me was something like a little bit more important maybe than for Kyle, because Kyle always had was really good shortboarder. So he kind of didn't mind too much in the beginning, I think. It was kind of, okay, I have my shortboard yet. Sometimes there's wave, I'm going to surf. And so I just kind of try to improve the board a little bit smaller all the time. So we got to, my first one was 11, then it was 8-11. And then it came down for 8-6 and started like 7-11, 7-8, 7-7, 7-6, 7-7.
When Ian got his 8-11, was like the big change, because in 11 foot we just dropped the wave and barely like put sideways. And when he got a 8-11, was a time that I saw some, actually in Rio there was already some guys, like some maybe 5 or 6 guys that surfed good in a stand-up paddle, but I never go surf with them, so I didn't see them a lot surfing. And when Ian got his 8-11, I saw like close, like he did turns and 360s and like off the tops, and was like, for me, was when I looked at it and said, oh man, it's not like an old surfing, it can be modern, you know. And that's what got me into the stand-up paddle.
How old were you, Ian, when you got the 8-11?
If I don't get wrong, I think it was my birthday of 15 years old, or maybe 14.
Okay,
like 5 years.
5 years ago.
5 years ago.
Okay. And then, so Kyle, talk about your shortboarding for a little bit. How far did you go in shortboarding?
Like, in Brazil, the surfing, it's pretty big, you know. It's kind of, it's hard, man, to be really good at shortboarding in Brazil. Especially in my time, that was against, like, Felipe, against Gabriel Medina, against Miguel, against all these guys who were surfing, like, the Brazilian nationals on that time. But, yeah, like, from Rio, that's a state we live. I was, like, the best. I was always, like, on first or in second on my division, like the juniors or the sub-16. But when I went to the nationals, I barely did a final. I was, like, almost semifinals, like, all the time, like, quarterfinals. Maybe one final, but I always managed to have some sponsors. And, like, when I was 13, I went to Hawaii for the first time. And after that, I went, like, more 4 or 5 times to Hawaii shortboarding. So I learned a lot, you know, about surfing and about, like, surfing big waves. And not big, but, like, powerful waves, like, different from the ones that we have in Brazil. And, yeah, I did some pro juniors, too, but nothing, any, like, good results. But I just was surfing all the time.
So then at 15 years old, Ian, you get the 8-11 stand-up, and it changes the game for you guys, because now all of a sudden you're doing turns, and you're understanding that it's a progressive sport. Like, you can surf it in a high-performance way. How long was it from that moment until you started getting into competitions?
It was really fast, because in Rio, where we live, and I think in all Brazil and all the world, stand-up paddle is a... It's kind of a family. It's small, and it's like really people really talk to each other. And I think that there's not the fear that I had in shortboarding, just to go out in a competition and being last, you know. like, just enter and do choose scores, like, and didn't make the first heat. In shortboard, it was kind of boring for me, and I got sad about it because I have trained all my life, and I just go in a competition and do the worst possible. But in the stand-up, I just took it like it was fun, even to go in and lose everything. I think it was always fun because the people who I was competing was just friends. They was just like trying to pass a little bit of the sport to everybody. Like, until today, sometimes I compete in some competitions that there are people that they're really learning, but they're still so happy about it just to be there and do their part and try to do something. And this is the thing that I think made us improve so much, me and Kyle and all the people. It's like, you be on the contest, you watch people, good people surfing, and kind of the progression goes like really easier.
What do you think made you a better stand-up paddle surfer, because you're one of the top guys in the world, versus shortboarder? What are the differences in the sport that you think attributed to that?
I think like it was kind of easier to be like, I think the shortboard, when I went in, there was like already people way, way better than me as a stand-up, but I was like progressing way more in the stand-up than on the shortboard. I think I got maybe stuck on the shortboard and I didn't improve anymore. I think I was not like as happy. I really love surfing shortboard until today, and sometimes even more than stand-up paddle, but I think the competing part, I was not as happy competing as I was in the stand-up paddle, and that made me a little bit more into it.
Gotcha. Do you guys remember the first contest you did on a stand-up?
Yeah. Kai was riding a 9.6, only 1 feet. Yeah, and I was riding my 8.11.
Who won?
Kyle lost in round one. I think I lost in round two. But it was so cool. Like, we was having so much fun.
And so, in Brazil, this is something I'm just kind of learning about you guys, too. You guys had a TV show in Brazil. And how did that come about? That's pretty neat. And it's a nationwide TV show, too.
Yeah, it was very nice for us. Because just when we started, like, doing stand-up paddle and our boards, like, improved a little bit, we started to make some edits. And I don't know why, Caio, I think, named it the Vice Brothers. At the beginning, we were like, okay, it's kind of strange, the Vice Brothers, if nobody knows us. But you just made it go like a series, and we made the Vice Brothers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And when we got on the 10, we were like way more professional than the first one. So if you see all them, you can like see the totally progression we made from the first to the 10. I think it was like 1 or 2 years between those. Maybe less than 1 year though. But you can see like the first one we used like 8.6. And the last one we was using 7.5 and something like this. So it was really nice. And I think in the end, all we wanted was like to have a TV show and continue doing this. And that was when we... Okay, I'll let Caio say, because he's like wanting to say something.
It's because in Brazil at this time, there was a TV channel that was growing. There was like a big TV channel only about radical sports, extreme sports. And we look at that channel and it was like, man, that's the channel. Like, we really wanted to have a program there, a TV show there. And like, for me being surf a long time already, I knew some of the guys of the channel and some guys that produced things for the channel. And when we started our Savas Brothers, we didn't we didn't think we could get there, no? We didn't even think we would, like, get better in our surfing. It was terrible. But, like, on the 10th episode, we were in Hawaii, and we were staying in the house of Bruno Lemos, that's a photographer and a producer, a video producer. And he said, man, let's do, like, a small project and present to these guys of the channel. And was, like, and at the same time, like, the main guy from this channel, the director, he saw our videos, like, our YouTube TV series, and he liked it, and he, like, contacted us, and at the same time, he already had sent him the video, and the thing started to roll better. Continue.
So once you guys got picked up on the TV show, then did your lives change? Was it a big deal?
No, it wasn't. Our life didn't change. No. The thing was much more professional than our, like, YouTube channel. Like, there was a crew that traveled with us, like a filming crew. But the nice about it is that it gives us a lot more of exposure on the media and in, like, the surfing scene. And we did 3 seasons of 13 episodes each.
Half an hour episodes?
Yeah, half an hour episodes. So it was like a lot of travels, like competitions, like free surfs in Indonesia.
Did that help with your travel budget too?
Kind of, like, not directly, but indirectly, because we got, like, a lot of exposure in media, so, like, the sponsors were more happier, and they sponsor us because of that too. So, like, this helped us a lot with, like, other things that didn't came straight, but came because of that.
Gotcha. Gotcha. You mentioned travel in there, and I'm a fan of all of y'all's videos. Especially some of your trips to Indo and whatnot. Throughout all your travels, what were your favorite places to surf and stand up surf?
Oh man, I don't know. There are so many perfect places around the world, and I don't think I've been in all of them. But Indonesia is perfect, man. It's like it's only really far, but since you are there and there is a good swell. For sure, if you are in the right place, you're gonna score some really good plays, like Nias. Like,
what's the name of your video with your barrels at Nias? Because that video is sick. That was one of the first when I watched that video. That was right around the time. That was a couple years ago, right?
Yeah,
like 2 years ago, 3
years
ago.
There's one of only barrels. Me and Gordo. Is this one?
I think maybe. Yeah. When was that?
That was.
2 years ago. Yep, that was right when I was.
3 years ago.
That was right when I was getting into stand up, and that was one of the first videos that I watched. There were, like, I don't know, probably 10 moments I had in getting into the sport where I was kind of flirting with how much I wanted to really dedicate to stand up. And that was one of those videos where I was like, dude, like, if you're getting those kind of kegs on stand ups, then, like, you can surf from anywhere.
Yeah,
that was really cool. And look, some of the wipeouts look pretty brutal too, but
I opened my head in one of the iPods.
In that video?
Yeah.
Which
pedal,
one?
The last one of the video.
Uh-huh.
The one I'm really, really late and I try to go and, like, the board don't, like, speed down.
Uh-huh.
It just stuck on the lip and I still try to, like, stay there. And, like, the pedal was not the board. Like, the pedal flipped over and hit in my head. And I, like, did a little opening in my head. And this was in our TV show on Brazil.
That was on the TV show?
Yeah, and, like, man, Nias is, like, really, really small. There's, like, no hospital there, like, on the place of the wave. And, like, thank God my father and my mother was there, too. And they calmed me down because I hate stitches and I hate, like,
injections.
Injections, yeah. I'm, like, really scared about this. And the guy, like, he gave stitches on my head, like on the table in a restaurant. Like, I put my head down. And there was a guy that said, like, he was a doctor. And, like, we didn't even see nothing. He just came with, like, a little box. And he opened the box and he started, like, put my head down and started fixing my head.
Did they have to shave your hair off?
Yeah, a little. Yeah, but Nia is really perfect. Tahiti is amazing too, man. Like, it's so perfect.
Yeah, you just did well in Tahiti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't expect at all.
You didn't expect that?
Man, the waves were really hard. Like, completely hard to surf in backside.
Especially backside, yeah. Well, let's jump into competition later, but let's continue on this path right now. So you guys are... How old when you're doing the TV show?
17, right? I'm 17, maybe Kai 18.
17 and 18 years old. You're doing the TV show. Yeah. At that point, did you still... were you still shortboarding? Were you still in a shortboard contest?
Not anymore.
No, Kai was not.
We still shortboard, but not in the contest.
And then, so that was... At what age did you guys... Or how many years ago did you guys just decide that stand-up is our future and just start focusing on paddle surfing competitively?
Like, I don't know the right answer for this. I still don't know if stand-up is my future. But yeah, I hope the sport continue growing and
yeah. I'm what do you when you say that you don't know if stand-up's your future, what do you mean? You don't know if there's enough opportunity in the sport, you don't know if you wanna commit to the sport?
No, like I really want and I'm putting all my time on it right now, but I'm in an age that all my friends are doing university and getting a job. And that's why I'm thinking about it yet. But I'm putting all my time and all my strong on it, so I think I want this for me, but I'm not yet sure if this is gonna be like the same in 10 years or 5 years.
Right. Well, and there's a lot of question marks right now with the sport and how much opportunity there's going to be, how much cash there's going to be for athletes. It's something that, you know, I've thought a lot about. I've had a lot of conversations about that, and maybe we'll dive into that on another show, but it's kind of at an inflection point at a crossroads right now. Which way? I mean, the sport's obviously growing overall, but how much is the surfing side growing versus the racing side? Because you're seeing a lot of guys starting to get into racing to kind of ingratiate themselves with sponsors and whatnot. So when did you start the world tour? When was your first year doing the world tour?
I think my first year was 2010 or 11. I competed one stop in Brazil.
In Brazil.
And then in the other year, I competed two stops. And I think doing the whole tour, maybe 3 years or 4 years.
2012, you guys did the full tour.
Yeah.
My first competition was in Hawaii, the Big Islands. The Big Island competition. That was the last one in December. And I went to the trials and I made the trials. And Ian already, this year, Ian went to the Brazilian stop and he made a semifinal. The one that was in Marizias.
And I was in the main event.
In the main event.
Sick.
Yeah. And I wasn't there. I was traveling to California at this time, doing another TV show, like another like thing, not surfing. And I heard about it, and we went to we already got like a sponsor about stand-up paddling at this time. And he said, oh, I want to go to Hawaii. And he said, okay, go to Hawaii. And then we competed at the Big Island stop, and I made a semifinal there. It was nice. And then I stayed to Sunset, and I made a semifinal in Sunset too. So I was like, oh my God, like, two stops, two semifinals. And after that, I believed more like on me and the stand-up paddle, like on competing the world tour. And this year, I was like, oh, I'm just going to do like maybe two stops. And then like I made the semifinal. And then, okay, Ian wanted to go to France. And we went to France. And then I stayed in fourth in France. And the next one would be Tahiti. And we was, oh, no, let's not go to Tahiti. Let's go only to California after. And after the two stops, I was first in the rankings with Kailani, like tied. And I was like, fuck, I need to go to Tahiti now. And this year we did the whole tour, the whole year, all the events.
Yeah. And so then this year, we'll jump up a little bit here. This year is a big year for you because you just took down the World Tour Championship. Congratulations. That's ridiculous. And also the SupMag Athlete of the Year, Paddler of the Year. Explain how that couple weeks felt.
Felt crazy. Actually, like, I don't know, man. Last year, I think, was the best year for me. Like, not the best year in results, but, like, the best year, like, on surfing, on competition, too, you know? Like, fuck, I won Sunsets. I never had won a competition before, and I won Sunsets, and the waves were, like, big, and Kai was in the final, like, and everyone was competing. And then, like, I won Brazil, like, again, like, all the best guys there. And then the year only didn't work, like, as good as the beginning of the year. And I don't know, like, because of that, this year, I really still wanted, and I still trained a lot for this year. But, like, I don't know, I got in Sunset, and I didn't think, like, I would get to the final again, because it's hard to get in the final in Sunset, you know, like, all the wild card, all the Hawaiians and everyone ripping. And the thing just keep going, 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 and I stayed in second. And I was, like, happy with my second place in Sunset. And Tahiti, like, too, like, man, it was gnarly to surf backside in Sapinas. And, like, was kind of big and sometimes small and, like, barrel, no barrel. Like, was really hard to read the waves. And, again, like, I just keep going, the contest going, and I finished second again. I was like, oh, my God. Nice, because like I didn't think I'd be in the final in Sapinas. I never been in the final in Tahiti before. And yeah, I went to Huntington like just thinking, oh, okay, like I'm excited actually for France, because they said was not gonna be France anymore. They said something about Canary Islands. And I was like, oh nice, I'm going to a different place, and nice, I'm going to Morocco after, because last year the guys scored good waves there and I wasn't there. So I was, like, more looking to travel and to get good different waves that I never surfed before. And I, man, I wasn't, like, completely not thinking about, like, the tour and the results. And like, the first day, the meeting, like, Tristan said, like, they're not going to be anymore, like, the other stops. And I was like, fuck, man, I brought, like, 5 boards, 2 board bags. Only for 2 weeks, you know, like, that was the first thing I think. And I say, oh, my God, I'm not going to Morocco's anymore. I want to go. And my tickets, everything was all booked already. And, like, after, everyone started saying, oh, in the rankings. And I went, oh, yeah, I'm first in the rankings. And, like, everyone keeps saying, there was, like, 5 guys, I think, or 6 guys, like, maybe they could win the world title. It was kind of, like, everyone together, and yeah, it was, I don't know, it works better like this than like last year that it was first the whole year, and in the end, like I lost. This year was better. I just stayed second, and like I won after.
What means more to you, winning the World Tour or winning the Paddler of the Year?
The World Tour.
Yeah.
Actually, like. The World Tour, it only depends on me, you know, like, the paddle of the year. It depends on me, too, but I don't know who is judging, you know, like, I don't know if it's the public or if it's, like, someone inside the SupMag. The both of them, like, means a lot to me, but I think more the World Tour.
You don't have to say something, say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say it.
Okay. I don't know what's going on. He's over there just laughing. Something happened. I don't know what it was. All right. So let's talk about your boards for a bit.
Man, he's crazy.
We did surf a lot yesterday and today. We're probably all a little tired.
Overdose of surfing.
Yeah. Well, I kind of want to finish up and go back out here in about a half an hour if you guys want to. So let's hop on your boards. Let's talk about your boards a little bit. I got a chance to check them out. And we're going to do a little video of Kyle and Ian showing off their quiver. Ian showing off half of his quiver. Because half of it showing one board. But both your boards, Ian, so we'll start off with Ian. Both your boards are 7-0s?
Yeah, yeah.
How much do you weigh? How many 80, kilos?
Like 80 kilos.
You weigh 80 kilos. Yeah. Okay. And I don't know if I believe that. But so you ride a 7.0
by 25 and 3.75.
By 25 and 3.75. Okay. You know how many liters it is?
71 actually.
Yeah. And you sink it pretty good. Like when you're just standing on it, you go up to
actually,
past your
the
knees.
One that
Or the one that you broke today.
71 liter. Yeah, the one that I broke today, I think is like 67 liters maybe.
67 liters.
66.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that sinks a lot.
Yeah. Who's your shaper?
Vitor Vasconcelos, the hot stick.
Okay.
From Brazil.
And what's your process like with your shaper for you to refine and get down to the board that you're on right now? You said you're going through a lot of boards a year, right?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, like 3 or 4 years ago, I was only arting surf, and I could do boards with whatever shaper I want. So I just made boards with like four different shapers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very good to me because I kind of started to understand what I like and what I don't like in boards. Actually, I didn't know until today, but I kind of started to get the really different boards, like from one shaper and from the other ones,
mm-hmm.
and see which one I liked. So last year, actually 2 years ago, I started just using the hot stick boards. And yeah, that was perfect because when I found out what I want, I just keep improving on this just with him.
Okay.
And the boards are like really great right now.
Gotcha. And they obviously go pretty good. You didn't like the fin setup on that one you rode yesterday, though, because they were pushed back on the tail a little bit too far. What fin setup do you like?
I kind of got a little bit mixed up with fins. I don't know who really to choose it. Yeah, when I go buy a fin, I just choose it because it's beautiful.
Just because it's pretty.
Yeah, it's true. Actually, I look if it's small, medium, large.
Yep.
But I just choose if it's like...
Just choose them by what looks good.
And right now, we made a really pretty fin. So that's what I'm using right now. The Devon
that's
Brothers
that Art Surf fin. Yeah, those are sick.
It's Art and Surf. Our model, TVP
okay.
model.
The Vaz Brothers model?
Yeah. And that's what I'm using because I think it's beautiful.
Do you make a center fin in that model too?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a longboard box slider center fin?
Yeah.
Do you bring any extras of those? You want to sell one? It's so hard to find good center fins for long box sliders. Like Colin McPhillips, that's really the only fin I've seen that's smaller that's built for... Like shortboard surfing.
Yeah,
four and a halfs. I think Colin's a five, maybe. It's a bigger fin.
Four and a half performance one.
Okay. And they make a back fin, a slider.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other one, which other brand that has one too? Iceland, no, Hawaiian Island. Inoka. There's another brand that there's a good back fin too.
Okay.
A Hawaiian Finco, maybe. I don't know. It's good. It's 4.5 too.
So, all right, Kyle, talk about your boards now.
Okay, my boards. Since I begin stand-up paddling, I'm still with my same shaper. Like, he saw me surfing in one of my...
Who's your shaper?
It's Claudio Pastor.
Okay.
And he saw me surfing on one of my first contests with Ian's old boards. And he was like, oh, I think you can get better. And I want to get better, too. So let's get together and keep improving. Okay, let's go. And then we keep improving a lot. And I mean, we did like a lot of different boards already. Like wide nose, like wide tails, narrow, like big one, small one. And yeah, now we find a really good one. But last year, we think we find a really good one. And this year is completely different. So maybe next year, my board's going to be completely different again. But what I'm using now, it's a 7.0 with 25 to and 3 3-quarters too.
3 3-quarters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same as Ian board, but it's kind of...
And your boards are a little bit more like a star board. Like the 2015 Sean Pointer board is pretty similar to your rails, it feels like. They're a little bit thicker, fuller rails to have that 7-0 and to keep it at 25. You're putting a lot of volume on the rail there.
Yeah, my shaper used to like putting a lot of volume in the rails, but I try to take it out. Yeah, but actually now I think it means a lot if you take out the rail from the back part of your surfboard, like close to the fins.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important to be thin there. So that's what I'm trying to do now. Like I keep it thick, like more to the middle to the nose, and thin to the middle to the tail of the board.
So you get your float up front.
Yeah.
A lot of your volume's in the front of the board.
And like to bottom turn, that for me is one of the harder things in center paddle.
It is, for sure.
Like to do a good bottom turn, like with speed, like it's much more easier. Like you can put the board where you want, like because of it's thin and get a really good drive the board. And now I'm using, my boards are a little bit more narrow in the nose too. It used to be more wide in the nose, but now it's pretty similar. It's like narrow and narrow. It's kind of hard to stand up, but it's good on the waves.
Yeah, you paddle them pretty good though. Like,
yeah,
no issues there. And paddles, where are you cutting your paddles?
So I used to use smaller paddles than me, but because of the smallest boards, like the difficulty to balance myself, I put the paddle a little bit higher than my head. Like not even one hand, like less than one hand, but maybe 3 fingers, 4 fingers. I just think it's easier to balance with more paddle in the water, so that's what I'm using.
And does that give you a little bit more speed paddling too? You notice that at all?
I don't think about, man, like I really think about my balance, you know. to have speed, I need to be like with a good balance, you know. Like,
yeah.
I think I'll have speed like either ways, you know. I just need to be like right, like standing up right on my board. Because the worst thing is like when you have a really good board, but you can't catch a wave because, man, you can't even like stay still on your board, you know. Like, and this already happened to me. So now, like I look at the board like if it's good and if it's good for paddle too. It cannot be just good for surfing. It has to be like a little bit good for paddle only.
We talk about that a lot on the show, and that is, and for competition, what should the rule be about sitting down on your board, paddling the whole time? Because at some point it has to remain stand-up paddle surfing and can't just be stand-up, you know, catch the wave while you're standing up, you know, like you just sit down, lay down the whole time. And so one of the ideas was maybe you should lose priority if you fall. Like you keep priority as long as you're standing, maybe like to keep the boards like actual paddle boards. What do you think? Where should the rule be? Should you be allowed to sit down during a heat?
It's a change already because last year and the years before you were like you had to stay standing up the whole heat. And it's not good, I think. I prefer to sit down like while there's no waves coming. And it's not an advantage to be seated down, you know, because if you are standing up, you'll be faster. Like, you'll see the wave, like, coming from far away. So you get advantage to be, like, standing up in your board. I think this rule, like, about sitting the outside, it's okay, like, the way it is, that you can sit on your board. But the main thing for me, it's, like, to get back to the outside. This rule, I think it should be... Now it's okay too, the way it is, but it's not really like, actually like no one knows like really the rule of getting back to the outside, I think. And I think this rule should be like, it should come from the, like from the director, like the event director, because there are some places that, man, it's like completely impossible to get in the outside like the whole time. Like this morning, it's like impossible to pedal all the way.
No way.
Maybe if you're lucky, you can, you know, but like for 90% of the chances, you have like to paddle like or sometimes and it will not gonna be like 5 strokes, you know, and neither like 10 seconds. So it's kind of hard to say a rule for it. Like, I think you just there should be an event director that should like say in the day. Like, I competed one contest in France last year, the last stop. That it was like, no, the year before last year, that was like huge. Like
the big year, yeah.
Like gigantic. And man, you couldn't even see like where was the outside, you know, it was like crazy. And this year was like impossible to pedal out. Like somehow Iron Guy said, no, if you stand up, you have to do. But even then, I think, even like them, I think they couldn't. So it's kind of hard, I think, like, to say a rule, like a general rule, should be more like specific.
Yeah, contest by contest.
Yeah, contest by contest.
Conditions permitting.
I think also in the WSL, you got the jet ski to get out, just because what counts is the performance on the wave.
Yep.
So if you just stand up and get like way tired, you're not performing as good. So I think it's like, obviously, it's a stand-up paddle, so you gotta stand up. But if you're taking a huge set on the head, or any set on the head, like, if you jump off your board, you got 50 seconds between one and the other one. Obviously, I'm not gonna stand up. I'm not gonna stand up to jump again, because I'm losing my energy.
Right.
So, I think it's like, when you stand up, you paddle faster. So it's obviously an advantage. So just stand up on the time you think you gotta do it. And in the outside, I think you can see it also, because you're gonna save energy for your layback or for the last heat of the wave.
I mean, it does. I mean, I did the contest series here this year and 20-minute heats. And here you have to stay standing the whole time. And there were a couple days, a couple events that were really choppy. And by the end of the day, I mean, you're just done. I mean, just so tired, just having to stay standing the whole time and paddle out standing up here. So I think I might be inclined to agree with your logic there. All right, let's talk. We just finished. So we went surfing this morning. We came back to the house and watched Felipe Toledo win in Portugal and the Brazilian Storm taking over the WSL this year. What is the scene for stand-up paddle surfing in Brazil? How is it accepted within the surf culture of Brazil? Is it okay to just paddle out at your home breaks on a paddleboard? What's the feeling? And no one wants to answer this one, which is kind of funny. Everyone treads very lightly when they start talking about vibes back home.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, man. People hate stand-up paddle all over the world. It's true, you know? Like, but I don't know why, but I think I know why.
Do people hate you stand-up paddleboarding?
No.
Stand-up? Right. No. It has to do with the caliber of the athlete on the board.
Yeah.
Well, there are people that hate, yeah, right?
Hates everything.
Sure.
The thing is, like, there are a lot of people that learn how to only stand-up paddle. Like, they don't learn how to... They didn't learn how to surf, like, back then. And I think, like, there are some cultures on surfing that come, like, from long times ago. And on a stand-up paddle, like, it's easier to catch waves, and it's easier, like, to catch all the waves on the lineup.
Yeah.
And there are some guys that... I don't think they do it for bad, you know? I think, like, they only don't know, like, they don't know, like how to respect, you know. But this thing, like me, Ian, like all the good guys, like that serves good and like that have their name, I think we should help the sport to change this vision, you know. Like, of course, like when we go to Hawaii, we go surf Rocky Points, like we are stand up paddling paddle, like any old guy will look at us and will say like, fuck, stand up paddle's coming. But if we can change this, like, during the session, if we can change the mind of this guy will tell another one, like, oh, they guys stand up paddle, but they respect. Like, I think this will kind of change, you know?
Yep.
And in Rio, it's the same. Like, there are a lot of beach breaks. There are only beach breaks in Rio. And you can surf, you know, like, Barra da Tijuca, like, it's the main place of stand-up paddle there. Like, you're going to see a lot of guys stand-up paddling there, like, during the weekend and the week, too, like, in the early session. You're not going to have problems there. But there are some spots, like Arpoador, some place that are, like, smaller places, like, a lot of people that do not like you to stand-up paddle there. But
if someone wanted to make a trip to Brazil to stand up, where would you say they should go?
Man, to Rio, to Barra da Tijuca. Uh-huh. Who get fun there. It's kind of close out waves. It's not always that you have like a long wave. But I don't know, Saquarema is epic too, man. It's like less crowd, the wave it's strong wave, like it can get really big. And if you go to where Leco lives too in Santos, it's really nice too, man. The wave is like really mellow, like in like long waves. And there are a lot of good guys stand up paddling there too. Like in the south of Brazil too, like Santa Catarina, there are some really good places with like more mellow waves. Another place, yeah.
All the places in Brazil there. So
yeah, all the places, like it's okay, man. You're not gonna get really trouble.
You know, you mentioned something a couple minutes ago about changing the perspective of the paddle surfers. And that was kind of the original idea of Paddle Woo, which is, you know, I feel like when someone, and that's actually something that I really want to focus on this week with the, this is just us talking right now, it'll probably go on air, but something I want to focus on with the Progression Project is showcasing like what you see, what I see when you see stand-up paddle surfing, because it's way different than what the guy, the surfer, most surfers think. Like, one of the ideas, like, you know, is just kind of like asking people what they think about the sport. And I bet if you ask most people what they think about paddle surfing, it has nothing, it does not equate to how you surf, either one of you, right? It's like they're completely off base in where the sport is now.
But they have to see, because when I started stand-up paddling, my vision was another one too, you know?
Like, well, exactly.
Before I see Ian doing like six snaps, I was like, fuck, I don't want a stand-up paddle, I want a shortboard.
Exactly.
So like the thing, it's kind of normal, you know, like for me, because like I never be rude with no one that was stand-up paddling, but at the same time, my vision was another one, that the one that is today, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think the thing is, it's already changing and we'll keep going slowly, but it will be different, like, maybe, yeah, sometimes.
That's, hopefully that's what the Progression Project helps do a little bit here, so. Yeah. All right. Let's see here. We're just jumping into closing thoughts. I think that's a good one, and then we can go surf. anything you guys want to leave the audience with?
Yeah, I wanna say a little about the stand-up paddle. Like, the athletes, the Brazilian athletes.
Okay.
Like, man, if you go see a national competition in Brazil, you're going to be freaked out, because it's almost as hard as the world too, you know? Like, there are some really good guys surfing there. They're like, they maybe don't have the opportunity to show themselves, like, sponsoring, like, people to put them to come compete, like, the world tour, but the level, the surfing level in Brazil, it's really hard, man. Like, I never was a Brazilian national champion yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Who is the?
Yeah. Last year.
Right now? Last year?
Yeah.
Nice, dude.
And on the first stop, this one is funny, man. On the first stop, like, the heat started, the final, and it was me, Ian, Eric Miyakawa and Adriano Trincafiarro. And Leco was not in the final too, like, and his brother too, like, man, it's
and those
hard.
Guys rip.
The level is hard. And when the heat started, it was a 30-minute final. And when the heat started, like, it was kind of small, but the waves were really rippable. And it was kind of like messed, the lineup was not everyone together, you know, it was me in a place, you know, the other guys in another place. And I got a really good wave, and I was like, yeah, I'm happy with my wave. And Ian, too, he got a really good wave, and he was happy with his wave. And when we heard the scores, was like, Kyle, your first wave, 8.5. Ian, your first wave, 8.8. Kyle, you are in fourth. You need a 19 point something. Ian, you are in third. You need a 19 point something. And we were like, what? Man, this is 5 minutes of the heat. You know, like, Eric just did like 2 nines on the first two waves of the heat. So
how did you win?
This is this year.
Yeah. Oh, this is this year. You're not this year's champion yet.
No, this year didn't finish yet.
It's not finished yet. No. Okay, okay.
There's one more stuff.
Nice.
But yeah, man, it's crazy.
That's heavy.
Yeah,
that's heavy.
The Brazilians are ripping. I hoped like more of them could come to the World Tour.
Right on. Ian, what do you want to leave everybody with?
Kai, you want to sing a song to everybody? just thanks for watching. Actually, thanks for hearing it.
All right, guys, thank you for being a part of the show. This has been fun.
It's the Paddle Cool Podcast. All right.